Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 50, Ezra the King's Trusted Friend. About 70 years after the first exiles returned, Artaxerxes Longimanus came to the throne of Medo-Persia. Ezra and Nehemiah lived and worked during his reign. In 457 BC, he issued the third decree for Jerusalem's restoration. He often showed favor to God's people during his long rule. And in his trusted Jewish friends, Ezra and Nehemiah, he recognized men whom God had appointed. Ezra, living among the Jews who remained in Babylon, attracted the favorable notice of King Artaxerxes. He talked freely with the king about the power of God and the divine purpose in restoring the Jews to Jerusalem. Ezra had received priestly training and had also become familiar with the writings of the Medo-Persian realm's wise men. But he was not satisfied with his spiritual condition. He longed to be in full harmony with God, and so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. This led him to search the books of the Bible to learn why the Lord had permitted Jerusalem to be destroyed and his people taken captive to a heathen land. Ezra studies to show himself approved. Ezra studied the promise God made to Abraham and the instruction he gave at Mount Sinai and through the wilderness wandering. Ezra's heart was stirred, and he experienced a thorough conversion. As he learned to yield his mind and will to divine control, the principles of true sanctification came into his life. In later years, these helped shape the character of all associated with him. God chose Ezra so that he might put honor on the priesthood, whose glory had nearly vanished during the captivity. Ezra developed into a man of extraordinary learning and became a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, verse 6. These qualifications made him stand out as an important man in the kingdom. Ezra becomes a mouthpiece for the Lord. During the remaining years of his life, whether near the court of Medo-Persia or at Jerusalem, he communicated to others the truths he learned. He was the Lord's witness to the world that Bible truth has power to ennoble daily life. Ezra's efforts to revive interest in studying the scriptures yielded permanent results because of his painstaking, lifelong work of preserving and multiplying the sacred writings. He gathered all the copies he could find and had these transcribed and distributed. The pure word, placed in the hands of many people, gave knowledge that was of priceless value. Ezra's faith led him to tell Artaxerxes that he wanted to return to Jerusalem to help his people restore the holy city. As he declared his perfect trust in God, the king was deeply impressed. His confidence in Ezra was so great that he granted the request, gave him rich gifts for the temple, and conferred on him extensive powers for carrying out the intentions in his heart. The third decree makes complete provision. The decree of Artaxerxes for restoring and building Jerusalem, the third since the close of the 70 years of captivity, is remarkable for its references to the God of heaven and for its liberal grants to the people of God. The king offered freely, to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, and he made provision for meeting many heavy expenses, from the king's treasury, verses 15 and 20. You are being sent by the king, Artaxerxes declared to Ezra, to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, with regard to the law of your God which is in your hand. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. Verses 14 and 23. Artaxerxes arranged to restore the members of the priesthood to their ancient privileges. It shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on them. He also arranged for civil officers to govern the people. You, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, he directed, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. Verses 24 and 25. Thus Ezra had persuaded the king to enable the return of all the people of Israel and of the priests and Levites in the Medo-Persian realm, who volunteered to go up to Jerusalem. Verse 13. This decree brought great joy to those who with Ezra had been studying God's plan concerning his people. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, Ezra exclaimed, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart. Verse 27. God's leading, evident in Artaxerxes' decree. In this decree by Artaxerxes, God's leading was evident. Some saw this and gladly took advantage of the privilege of returning under such favorable circumstances. At the appointed time, those going to Jerusalem assembled at a designated place of meeting for the long journey. But the number who responded was disappointingly small. Many who had acquired houses and lands were satisfied to remain. Their example proved to be a wrong influence on others who might have chosen to advance by faith. As Ezra looked over the assembled group, he was surprised to find none of the Levites, those set apart for the service of the temple. The Levites should have been the first to respond. During the captivity, they had enjoyed liberty to minister to the Israelites in exile. Synagogues had been built. The priests conducted the worship of God and instructed the people. All were allowed to observe the Sabbath freely. But after the captivity ended, conditions changed. The temple at Jerusalem had been rebuilt and dedicated, and more priests were needed as teachers of the people. Besides, the Jews in Babylon were in danger of having their religious liberty restricted. During the uneasy times of Esther and Mordecai, the Jews in Medo-Persia had been plainly warned to return to their own land. It was dangerous for them to live any longer in the midst of heathen influences. In view of these changed conditions, the priest in Babylon should have been quick to see in the decree a special call to return to Jerusalem. The king and his princes had provided abundant support, but where were the sons of Levi? A decision to go with their brethren would have led others to follow their example. Their strange indifference is a sad revelation of the attitude of the Israelites in Babylon, showed toward God's plan for his people. Once more, Ezra sent the Levites an urgent invitation to join with his company. Trusted messengers hurried with the plea, "Bring us servants for the house of our God." Ezra chapter 8, verse 17. Some who had been hesitating decided to return. In all, about 40 priests and 220 ministers, teachers, and helpers came to the camp. All were now ready. Ahead of them was a journey of several months. The men were taking their wives and children, their possessions, and treasure for the temple. Enemies lay in wait, ready to rob and destroy Ezra and everyone with him. Yet he had not asked the king for an armed force for protection. "I was ashamed," he explained, "to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him. But his power and wrath are against all those who forsake him.'" Verse 22. For this reason, they determined to put their trust wholly in God. They would ask for no soldiers. They would not plant one doubt in the minds of their heathen friends about their sincerity in depending on God. Strength would come not through human power, but through the favor of God. They would have protection only by earnestly seeking to obey the law of the Lord. This knowledge lent a solemn air to the consecration service Ezra and his company held just before they set out. "I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava," Ezra declared, "that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer." Verses 21 through 23. Only the trustworthy are chosen. The blessing of God, however, did not make it unnecessary to exercise caution and careful planning. To safeguard the treasure, Ezra separated 12 of the leaders of the priest and weighed out to them the silver, the gold, and the articles, the offering for the house of our God. Verses 24 and 25. He solemnly charged these men to act as vigilant protectors over the treasure. "Guard them and keep them until you weigh them before the chief priests and the Levites and the heads of families in Israel at Jerusalem." Verse 29, NRSV. Ezra chose only those who had proven trustworthy. He recognized that order and organization were necessary in the work of God. "We departed," Ezra writes, "on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road." Verse 31. The journey took about 4 months. God restrained their enemies from harming them, and on the first day of the fifth month, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, they reached Jerusalem.